Hear the reading of God's holy word. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. We give thanks unto the reading of God's holy word. I believe it was Mark Twain who said, "I don't have a problem understanding and have a problem with God's holy word with the things I don't understand. The problem I have and the difficulty I have is adhering to the ones that I do know." And a lot of truth to that. As we study God's word, that we have to grapple with God's word and seek to understand it. In this scripture, Jesus is telling his disciples and asking his disciples in the midst of so many people saying who he is, describing him as John the Baptist. Great man, right? Was the forerunner preacher to Jesus saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near," and baptizing people in repentance. And then also these other great people of the Bible, Elijah and Jeremiah, who stood in wonderful faith and of throughout in the Old Testament. Anyways, the sermon series that I've been preaching on and ends today has been on foundation in Christ. And we began with the story of the wise man and the foolish man. And the wise man built his house upon the rock, and the foolish man built his house upon the sand. And when the winds came and the storm and the rains came down, the wise man's house stood firm. And when the winds came and the storms came and the rains came down, the foolish man's house went flat, as you know the song, right? Foundation is important. The church is under challenge these days, and maybe it has been all the days. That's why we have an Apostles' Creed that we say, a statement of faith, because the church was challenged over things like the virgin birth of Mary. The church was challenged about the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's why we have the Apostles' Creed as a response to wrong doctrine. The church is challenged this day by telling people that moderation is the way to go. By telling people that you just need a little balance in your life. And the thing is that the teachings in Scripture are not about balance of faith, and it's not about moderation of faith. It is about putting our whole selves on the foundation of Jesus Christ and His teachings and the Word of God. Placing ourselves on the foundation in Christ Jesus. Tiger Woods can balance a golf ball on the end of one of his clubs, like a 9-iron with that slope, and he can put a golf ball on it, and he can balance it, and he can knock it up into the air, and like throwing a baseball up and down, can just, do that like 20 times in a row, throw it up, and then swing and hit it in midair. Now, there's some others that can do that. I used to. We all have those used to's, unless you're still a kid, I used to be able to ride my bike and pop a wheelie on it and ride, as long as I wanted to and keep my balance on that. But those things aren't really things that matter seriously, are they? That kind of balance, that kind of skill. But what the scriptures are telling us is that to have a foundation in Christ Jesus concerns our life. They're serious matters. And when we don't have our foundation in Christ, we have left it up to the world to determine to us what foundation is. And let me just say this, just along that story, it is foolish to put your foundation on anything else than Christ Jesus. Ultimately, it will come crashing down and fall. It may seem in this world that it's okay, but that is a disguise. Even for those who suffer greatly in this world as Christians and for their faith, their foundation is firm. Even yet they die, their foundation is firm. Problem for the church, it would seem, especially among our younger generation, and so vital for us as a church to work at changing this pattern. Is the church on its way out? Is the church dying? Or is the church about to enter into a time and the nation and the world in a time of revival or awakening? Who is going to determine that? The people in the pews are going to determine that. The people who will come to Christ Jesus because they have heard the call of Christ, they have heard the repentance of sin, and they have heard life and love and joy that can truly come from the foundation in Christ Jesus. Everything else is folly or happiness, and that will go up or down. True joy is in Jesus Christ, that no matter our circumstances, we can experience joy. That's different than happiness. Our purpose is to be the church in this very community. How far does our community go out? Well, I think our community can go out 20 miles that way and 20 miles this way and 20 miles that way and 20 miles that way. Our community is where each one of us lives, whether it's in Lincoln County or Elbert County or Madison or across the river into Calhoun Falls. Wherever that is, that's our community, and where we try to reach out and be the church that God would have us to be. And our community is even greater when we are able to reach out around the world even. There's a great need for the church in Nigeria today, where there are battles taking place where Muslims are killing Christians. And yet the church remains strong in the face of that opposition. And people are coming to Christ. We don't have that threat here, do we? But they do. And so we have a certain responsibility even to churches around the world to do what we can to help in various parts where God leads us, whether it's in Nigeria or Venezuela or various other places, but also right here. There is a need for Christ in our very community. How many people this day will not be in church? Who will not be in church last week or last month or all of last year? And who have no plans to be in church on Easter Sunday? Maybe the highest Sunday of the year in terms of attendance. Who plan not to even be in church that day because they don't sense a need or a want. Or a life that desires the relationship that comes with God. Okay? Our purpose as a church is not just to ourselves, but it is to all those around us, to our family. What are things that that are already not just on the way out, but they're out? How many of you have ice boxes at your home? We have refrigerator. You might have an ice box, okay. But there's not a company where we can go get a big block of ice anymore, is there? No. Or there may be, but we don't know where it is, okay. But it's not that normal thing anymore, is it? How many of you have ever bought or rented a movie at Blockbuster Video? Yeah, a few of you. Even you have, yeah. It's gone by the wayside. I think there's one store left in all of the United States. And there used to be one in just about every community. Why is that? People don't rent VCR movies anymore. Too much streaming going on. Things have changed, haven't they? What about procedures like surgery? Oh, it's been about 15 years. I had my gallbladder removed, and they give you three little incisions, and they do it laparoscopically. Is that the right word? All right, thank you. And, before, it was a huge surgery. And you'd spend a week recovering. So those things have changed, right? But God has not. The world wants to say, well, this is a European model of Christianity. Or this is patriarchal, or things have changed in our world to where we have a different understanding of Scripture, and so on and so forth. But God has not changed. His means of salvation for all of humankind is still wrapped up in the birth of Jesus, the Son of God, who would grow up without sin, die on the cross, and at the appointed time, and then rise from the grave to show he had power to overcome our sin, our death. And he did so by overcoming sin through perfection, death through resurrection. Jesus himself cannot be improved on. He is perfect. We don't improve on Jesus. The world may want to change its understanding of God's word, but it doesn't need improving. It needs for us to grapple and seek to understand what God is trying to show us and share to us and reveal to us that can only be understood through Holy Spirit wisdom that God reveals to us in time. Now, I saw somewhere, Amy, I think you sent this to me. Now, we got to be intelligent people. I'm not saying throw out your intelligence. You got to be intelligent. Where a pastor stood up there and said that he could correct the Greek with the King James Version, and he held his coat like this. Well, the Greek came way before the King James Version. That's an interpretation out of the Greek and the Hebrew, the Latin Vulgate, that people then didn't speak so well or understand it or read it. Thank God we did have a King James Version to come around that was the language of the people of the day, that the Scriptures could be understood. But let us know that the Scriptures were for our use, for our being to learn from and to grow and to be disciplined by. Not the way you might interpret the word discipline, but to be disciplined by. Being on the foundation of Jesus Christ is that we have a purpose. And first, our purpose is to ourselves, and then to our families, and then to our church, and then to our community. And we can't compartmentalize and just say, well, we should just have faith ourselves and not worry about anything else. No. Or that we should just be out and into the community and never take care of our family or attend the things of the church. It must all come together. It must all work together. And the church must all work together for faith in, faith for ourselves in Christ Jesus and for our families and for and in and about the church and toward our community. Identity, purpose, go hand in hand, folks. They merge. Our purpose gives us identity. The world is caught up in the radical social justice issues of this day. Some of it is good. Maybe not the radical part, but some of it is just about justice issues and has nothing to do with repentance or salvation or living in Christ. You could take Christ completely out of it, and people would say that they identify with Jesus, they identify with their purpose as just social justice issues. I read Scripture. I see Jesus who elevated women. I see Jesus who said there is neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, slave or free. You want to talk about justice? That's justice. People who are seeking gender identity today, and I'm not trying to laugh at this issue that people are going through. It is a real issue that some people are going through. And what are they really seeking once they, in essence, figure out their identity and the multitude of things that are identity? It can be devoid of church and faith in Jesus. And their whole identity and purpose are tied into how they describe themselves. It becomes their purpose. And that's why some get so offended when you do not qualify their identity, because they so see it tied to their purpose as well. That's why they need Jesus. They need the foundation of Jesus Christ to be their true identity and purpose. And let the Scriptures help them understand who they are and whose they are, and how they are truly loved by God. Here, Jesus asks the identity question. That is set along with his purpose. Who do people say the Son of Man is? Referring to himself. And they respond, John the Baptist, Elijah, and still others. He knows there are questions out there about who Jesus is. They've seen the miracles. They've heard his sermons, etc., etc. And so they're kind of wondering who Jesus is, except for that he is the Messiah. The people who are having this conversation out in the world, out in the community, aren't proclaiming him to be the Messiah. And Jesus goes on to ask one of his disciples, Peter. And he looks at him and he goes, but what about you? Now this is one of the disciples who would go on to deny Jesus three times right before his death on the cross. And he would also go on to forgive him three times. And Peter would go on to say, you know that I love you, Lord, three times. What about you, Peter? Who do you say I am? And Peter answers correctly here. He may get other things wrong later on, or out of fear, or whatever. And we understand that through Scripture. Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's who you are. Jesus, yes, you're right. You are right. His eyes were open. Jesus had caused a blind man to see. He had physical sight restored to him, as well as spiritual sight, and knowing that he was blind and now could see. Peter has been given spiritual sight to see that Jesus is indeed not just a man who someday discovered, hey, I think I'll be the Messiah, the Son of Man. No! He was born that way of the Virgin Mary. Son of God and Son of Man. And this is the Messiah, and this is his purpose for which he has come into this world. Before I identify as anything else in this world, global Methodist or Presbyterian or whatever you want to say out there. Of course, there's some things that I wouldn't be able to say as you know, if it was of the Muslim faith or Buddhist or things like that. Before I identify as any of those things like Methodist or global Methodist, I am first and foremost, I identify as Christian. Right? I don't have to ask your permission. That's how I identify. How do you identify? Don't answer it. How do you identify? That's what the question Jesus is asking to Peter, really. Who do you say that I am? Well, if we say that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, then we're also saying, I am a follower of Jesus. I am a Christian. And that's the foundation on which we stand. And it's not temporary where we say on Sunday morning, I am a foundational Christian, but during the week, I'll step off of that and be whatever I need to be. No, It's I'm on the foundation of Jesus Christ, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, every minute of the day. Does that make us perfect? No. But it says that we place ourselves on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Jesus' purpose and identity is to be the Son of God and is the Son of God. Our purpose and identity is to be a child of God and to be called followers of Christ and Christian. To deny this, hear me out, to deny this is to reject our true identity. For we were made to be followers of Christ and His children. In AD 100, in the year of our Lord, 100. I don't get into the CE and the BCE stuff. It's in the year of our Lord. 0.02% of the population was Christian. This meant that of every 220 people on the earth that day, one person was a Christian. Now there's some 20,000 people in Elbert County. If we add a few of the surrounding areas, let's say there's 30,000 people in our community. And I know we're not the only church, but 30,000 people. If we were to take that same statistic and 0.02%, what is that? 300 people or 30 people? Wouldn't matter, would it really, if it was 300 or 30 people? We're more than 30 people here. So imagine this being the... Hey, do you mind shutting that door? Imagine thinking that you are the only Christians in this community. How is anyone else going to know who Christ is except that you go out and live before them a life and that you share the good news with other people? Listen, you're a child of God. Listen, we're going down a terrible road, except that you follow Christ. In 1992, 14.7% of the population of the world were followers of Christ. 100 a day were converting to Christ in AD 100. It's in the thousands today. Let me end with this story. It's an old story that I came across, but it means as much today as when it happened. In the 1890s, C.C. McKay planted churches for the Methodist Church. He was planting one church a day, and he was traveling throughout the U.S. by train. And while he was in Oregon, he read a newspaper report by Robert Ingersoll, a lawyer and orator, who was of the Free Thinking Society in Chicago. So you can imagine where he lied. This was a person who said in his speech and what was read in the article, and said, the church was dying. This was in the 1890s. At the time, the Methodist Church was the largest denomination in the U.S. in growing leaps and bounds. Why would he say the church is dying? Because he thought that in his own intellect, that as people gained more intellect, that they would determine the folly of the scriptures and the folly of the church. But he was so wrong. It is not folly. The scriptures are not ridiculous. They are the word of God given to us, inspired through the Holy Spirit, given to us that we might understand and shape our relationship with Jesus Christ, with God the Father. The church planner, McKay, responded after he got off the train, and in that day, in this day, it would be sending a tweet out. Not tweet, an X out, isn't it? Instead, he sent a telegram or some kind of communication of that day, and he said to Robert Ingersoll, "Now, because of what you said, we propose not only to do one new church plant a day, but two new church plants a day." Two. In response. Now, some people say their identity is based on what their parents taught them or what culture they were raised in and believed. But you know, and you reason intellectually enough to know. You can reason. God gave you a brain to think with. You know that there are parents who are very faithful Christian people, devout Christian people, and their children or one of their children became an atheist or became whatever, but not Christian. Or you know people that were raised in an atheist homes who became Christian. So we're not a product of our parents, so to speak. Although our parents have great influence, they do not determine your identity. Your identity is determined by you. The grandson of Robert Ingersoll, Ingersoll III, some 50 years later, in a church in Chicago that he attended, he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Listen! If he was a product of what his parents believed and his grandparents believed, then he too would have been a part of the free-thinking society of Chicago. But instead, this person saw the truthfulness and the need for his identity in Christ Jesus, and so he proclaimed Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, that he had forgiven him of his sin, and that he had promised him everlasting life. The very next week, this man's son received Christ Jesus. Now that's 1890s and 1940s. This has happened hundreds and thousands of times over and over again in families. You determine. God has given you free will to determine. He offers it freely. He does not force or coerce. And it is not the will of the parents that determine our faith. It is our own will. And seeing what Jesus has done for you and me. When people say, "Who are you?" What do they say? What do you want them to say? President of the First National Bank in Gainesville. I read his obituary here recently. I don't think the bank exists anymore, but it was one of the prominent banks in Gainesville. It spoke of his going parasailing and mountain climbing, all sorts of things, and being asked to head up a charity, and he did so very successfully and well known in business circles and in the community. Except there was one thing that was missing that to me was the most important thing, and that was the way he was identified. Everything was there. Everyone would know he was successful and wealthy and traveled the world. Except it never said that he was a member of a church or a Sunday school class or that he was a Christian. If I could get something placed in my obituary, I want the first thing to say, he was a Christian. Because everything else doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Husband and father, pastor. I want all those things to be said. Who do people say you are? How do you identify? Is it on the foundation of Jesus Christ? If it's not today, right where you sit, all you say in your own heart before God is, Lord, I want to be known as yours. You can talk to me afterwards, week from now, 2 weeks from now. All you have to do is just say that in your heart. That's all the Lord requires. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you that we have been blessed this day. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you have forgiven us, and we thank you that you did not reject your identity as the Son of God, but that you welcomed it and received it for our sake. We claim this day on the foundation in Christ Jesus, our identity in you. In his holy name we pray. Amen.